Just the salt.
That's the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And I just realized yesterday that July is halfway over. Man, oh man, where does time go? Our little grandson David was 3 yesterday. I had a good birthday party with him, and I was thinking, wow, July is about over. And I was talking to my old buddy Norm. Norm's still coaching football, right in the middle of football. And people wonder all the time, Coach, do you miss it? Do you miss coaching football? And No. I mean, there's aspects of it I miss, but I don't really want to go out and I have no desire. I don't drive by a football field and lament the fact that I can't go out there and coach. In fact, I'm more likely if somebody asked me to play a baseball game, a real life baseball game at 65, I think I'd probably miss that more than I'd be missing coaching. And you know, here's the great news, folks. Scripture says Jesus said he would give you the desires of your heart. We've been taught in Christianity. I need a haircut. I'm going to get a haircut today. We've been taught in Christianity and evangelifishism that God will give you whatever you want. He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's not what that scripture says. That's not what it says. He said he'll give you the desire. God will put the desire of your heart in you. Desire, he will give you the desires of your heart. If you're following after the Lord, don't change everything about you. The casual acceptance of Christ in America has just ruined Christianity in America. In fact, I run into people and they tell me they're Christian. A lot of times it doesn't even mean anything. I see versions of Christianity that just absolutely blow me away. That's why you're here today, because again, I'm trying to just wake everybody up, pass the salt, to wake up and understand the times in which we live and know what it is that Israel needs to do. And I was replaying some this weekend, this whole thing that went on with Peter Stroke and the FBI. And did you guys see this? Okay. Right Wing Watch. Hang on here. Peter Stroke is demonically controlled. Now, if you guys can't see that, I don't understand what to tell you. See, here's what's happened in Christianity, though. We don't believe in that anymore. We don't believe in demonic possession anymore. I'm going to tell you something else that I'm becoming more and more convinced of. Especially with all the artificial intelligence going on. We're finding right now that they are producing sex bots. And then I saw this yesterday. We're finding that men are now being addicted to sex bots. And we understand that a sex bot is a, what is it? It's a robot. It's a robot that performs sex, right? And men are being addicted to these sex bots. In other words, men are being so convinced through their feelings about sex with a robot that they think it's real. In their mind, it becomes real. Well, the Bible tells us the battleground is for the mind. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed or shaped. Don't be shaped by this world. Amen. Be transformed. There's that. There it is. Oh, don't get me going on that. There that is again. That transformed. Was the Lowell last week that explained to us what a transformer does? Are you with us this morning, Lowell? I hate to call on people. I haven't looked at the list. We've got 25 folks. Got room for some more of you. Lowell's in here. Yeah, Lowell, what's a transformer do? What's a trans? When I used to play with those little trains when I was a kid, and you got a transformer with it. And a lot of times when the train quit, when you had a problem with your train set, it was because the transformer went bad. Could you explain for me, Lowell? What does a trans across? Now, hang on. I like words. Jared, Jared, go to Webster's 1828. Folks, this is fresh from the Holy Spirit right here. Right now, this is fresh from the Holy Spirit. Webster's 1828 dictionary. Jared, and look up transform. I'll be right there. Go ahead, Lowell. What does it mean to transform? What's a transform?
Electrical terms, it transforms or steps voltage up or down. So step 110 down to 12 volt or 12 volt converted. I mean, it doesn't increase or decrease power, which is always amperage. Okay, and the power.
You're breaking up. I don't know whether it's on my end or your end, Lowell. Could be on my end. So in other words, a transformer takes a form of power and changes it into another form of power. Would that be safe to say, or at least alters it, Lowell? Anybody else out there, a scientist, that can help me with this? What a transformer does?
Absolutely. Yeah. You're dead on, brother. That's it.
So the power comes in, and so the power, I don't understand it totally. It's too much power, too much wattage, too much voltage, whatever, to run that little train. So it runs into this transformer, and this transformer takes the form of the power and transfers it into something new that little train can run with. I think that's how it works.
Well, transforms it, steps it up or down to something usable.
Oh, say that again?
It steps up the current, steps it up or steps it down to something that it can be used.
Usable. So Jared looked up transformer for us, I think, or transform here in the Webster's Dictionary. Yeah.
You could have a transformer that it makes it usable because there's too much power coming from the higher lines, and it steps it down so that it's more usable at your house. It transforms it. It changes it. Or the other way around, right? It transforms it and steps it up.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That was great. Okay. Good. Stay with me here. So when the scripture tells us I've been transformed, see, I have been transformed. I'm going to talk about this in a second. According to Webster's 1828 dictionary, transform is trans. It's Latin. Trans and forma. Trans, to change the form of. Transgender. To change the shape or appearance. To metamorphose as a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. To change one substance into another. To transmute. Wow, transmute. The alchemists sought to transform lead into gold. In theology, to change the natural disposition and temper of a man from a state of enmity to God and his law. Wow, this is good. Into the image of God. In other words, to take the lawless and make it lawless. To change from a natural man into a spiritual man. I think I'm doing this okay. To change into the image of God or into a disposition and temper conformed. Oh my goodness, Jared, there's another word we're going to have to look at. Conformed to the will of God. Be ye transformed. Change one substance into another. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The washing of your mind with the water of the word transforms you. To change the elements, bread and wine, into the flesh and blood of Christ. That's called transubstantiation in Catholicism. To take the bread and it actually becomes the body of Christ. Among the mystics, to change the contemplative soul into a divine substance by which it is lost or swallowed up in the divine nature. In algebra, to change an equation into another of a different form, but of equal value. To be changed in form, to be metamorphosed. His hair transforms to down. Jared, what's conform? Conform. This is what the world wants to do to you, folks. The scriptures want to transform you, and the world wants to conform you. Conform is made to resemble. To conform is made to resemble. In other words, be made to resemble the world, assuming the same form as, resembling. To conform is to shape, to make like, in external appearance, to reduce to a like shape or form with something else as to conform anything to a model. More generally, to reduce to a likeness or correspondence in manners, opinions, or moral qualities. For whom he did foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Be not conformed to this world, to make agreeable to square with a rule of direction. Demand of them why they conform not themselves to the order of the church. To confirm is to comply with or yield to, deliver, act according to comply with. Wow. Hey, Jared, let's do one more. Deform. What's it mean to deform? To mar or injure the form. To alter that form or disposition of parts, which is natural, David, and esteemed beautiful, and thus to render it pleasing to the eye, to disfigure. Homosex is to disfigure the human sexual union. As a hump on the back deforms the body. Oh my goodness, to render ugly or displeasing. David, you hearing this? By exterior applications or appendages. As to deform the face by paint or the person by an unbecoming dress. To render displeasing. To injure and render displeasing or disgusting. To disgrace, to disfigure moral beauty. To disfigure moral beauty. As all vices deform the character of rational beings. To dishonor. To make ungraceful. So deform is to disfigure the sexual act. It's disfigured. Being of an unnatural, distorted, or disproportionate form, displeasing to the eye. Sight so disform, what heart of rock could long, dry-eyed, behold. Wow. Jared, pull up Romans 12, please. Romans 12, verse 1. Because those words are right in there. I beseech you there, brothers. Hey, Larry, not everybody. Not everybody. I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, it's the mercy of God, that he will let you present your body a living sacrifice. Not a dead one. Not a dead sacrifice. No, no. He wants a living sacrifice. He wants it to be holy and acceptable unto God. That's the least you can do. Because he's saved you, right? And look, watch this. You got to be careful. Don't be conformed to this world. Conformed. Conformed. Don't be conformed to this world. But be transformed. My goodness. This is so deep. Most Christians aren't transformed. They're conformed to Christianity. They have a form of godliness. Is that word again? They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof.
You said it, brother. You said
Amen.
It. I didn't say it. I didn't say it. I'm just reading it, repeating it. The right. Form of godliness. In fact, now it's not just a form of godliness. It's a deformed godliness, a deformed godliness. When we have men, David Arthur, I'm sure you saw. I'm probably going to talk about it today on your show. A transgender minister. Was that right, David? Did I see something about that, David?
Yeah, that was with the United Methodist Church. They ordained a transgender minister, but one that they actually referred to as they and them, not as he or she, because they do not identify with any sex, although they were born female, and they will always be female.
Yes, sir. And so they know that too, don't they, David? So they have to change the words. They have to change the pronouns because the science doesn't stack up with it. See, what's happened to it, this transgender, we ought to call them, hey, David, we ought to call them degendered because they're deformed.
Amen. Amen.
They're degendered. They're not transgender. They're degendered. They're degenerated genders. Degenerate genders. Let's make up a new word. See, because guys, girls, the Bible, there ain't nothing like the Bible. You can flip out the Bible and it will cut to the chase and it will eliminate all arguments. I'm heading someplace today.
Amen, brother.
I'm gonna pause. I sense somebody's got something to say. Degendered. Bruce Jenner is degendered. He's not transgendered. He's degendered. He's, right. He's deformed.
Indeed.
He's deformed.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
People, they don't, like with the conversation I had a couple of days ago with these people, they don't get it. They don't understand the depth.
I'm going to tell you why in a minute.
The impact that this has, right? They don't think it's right. They don't think it's a big deal. They don't think they don't think that, you know, butt farming and butt marriage, right? They don't think it's actually a big deal. You know, I don't know how do you get people to realize, like, listen, guy, this stuff is so wicked, it's so evil, and it's so opposite of God's creation that just by its mere mention. Which the Bible talks about, just by its mere mention.
Shouldn't mention it. Don't even let it be spoken of. So don't even let it be spoken of. Right?
Right. By its mere mention, we're destroying. We are doing the opposite of what Timothy says. Renew your mind. You know? We're doing the opposite of that just by its existence. So anyway, that's it.
That's the degendered. John Brockoff joined us. Morning, John. So stay with me here. I'm still in Romans. Still in Romans. For I say, get this now. Conform, transform. Those are your two choices. God formed you. Before I knew you in the womb, I formed you. Before I knew you, I formed you. All right? So then when you're born, from that point on, there you're either going to be conformed or transformed. That's what's going to be. Conformed, deformed, or transformed. That's the three choices that's going to happen to each and every one of us, okay? Now watch this. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world shape you. Don't let the church shape you. Don't let the church teach you how to act like a Christian. Don't let the church deform the freedom and liberty that you have through Christ into some type of religious ceremony. This is so deep, man. I'm getting a download even right now. This is so deep that even the church wants to conform you. They want to conform you into what? The image that they have of what a Christian is supposed to be. You don't have to say amen. This is heavy. Watch this.
Amen, brother.
And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Why? How? By the renewing of your mind. But the Bible says by the washing of your mind with the water of the word. That's the only way you can be transformed. When Jesus Christ came into my life, I was transformed. I wasn't deformed. Some think I was. I wasn't conformed. They're still trying to get me to, and I won't. I was transformed. I took this power. Boy, it's everywhere, isn't it? I took this power from on high. Larry, they gave me the power to become the Son of God. I took this power from on high, and I plugged it in, and it was transformed into something usable. Something usable that radiates from me as transformed. I wasn't conformed. Hey, nobody taught me. Holy Spirit taught me. Holy Spirit revealed all truth. Ah, this is thick today. Hey, folks. You know why a lot of you are watching this show? Because you're tired of being conformed. You're tired of it. You're tired of just, Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. You're tired of that. God gave you a mind. He gave you the ability to think. He gave you the ability to do research. And he wants you to go deeper. And as I said, the Bible is not to be read linearly, but down. You're supposed to go deep. The deep things of the Lord. Didn't the Bible say that? The deep things of God. The deep things of God, not just status quo, not just the conform stuff. Man, this is good. I don't care whether you're just joining in on a download here with me today. That's all that's going on. Jared, you got to come back to where you were. Okay, that's all right. I'd stay right there, Jared. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's a download. In fact, you won't believe it. Is this first, Jared, you're not going to believe this. This is my next scripture, but I don't want it up yet, Jared. Go back to Romans 12 real quick. I want people to see this. Wow. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way you can be transformed is you got to start thinking differently. That you may prove. The Lord wants to prove it to you. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Won't you be able to prove it? So watch. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. Hey, Larry, not to the world. To every man that's among you. He's writing to the Christians at Corinth. Hey, dudes, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. What is homosexuality? Homosexuality is thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. Thinking that your sexual urges, your sexual desires have the right to overturn all societal norms. You're thinking of yourselves more highly than you ought. And this is written to believers. He's not talking about homosexuality here. He's talking about believers thinking of themselves more highly than they ought. I'm right, you're wrong. I know it all, you don't know. I don't agree with that. Yep, nope, I won't fellowship with you because here's what? Not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. Which we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. I don't want to get into that. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to be saved. I want to be transformed. I am saved. And I'm not going to get into the back and forth of whether you're saved or not. I want to ask you this. Are you transformed? When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, did everything become new? By the way, it's what the Bible says. Behold, all things become new. Did that happen to you? Or did you now just receive Jesus and go home and try to pray and try to be a good person and try to give up all your dirty habits? Or did I noticed it again. Noticed it again this weekend. I was out in a crowd and I'm the only one wearing anything Christian. And I'm thinking, Lord, am I nuts? Am I the only one transformed here? How could you be infilled with the Holy Spirit of God, the power from on high, the transformative power of God? How could that enter into your body and there not be an outward explosion? How could you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, and keep it secret? That's a legitimate question. So I was having a discussion this weekend. It doesn't matter who I was having it with. If they're listening, they'll know I was talking about them. And the debate came up about, this can apply to all of you. Man, I've hogged the time here. I'll give you a minute here. Jump in a minute. Looking around at how many people's lives are screwed up. Look at your family. And when you look at your family, how would you rate the kind of jobs you do as a parent? How would you rate your family? How would you judge your fruit? So I was looking around and trying to judge some of my fruit because the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. And that doesn't necessarily mean me, the way I behave, although it does, but it has to do with those I produced around me. What is there around me? You know them by their fruit. And it came to me as very, very simple. I said, here's what it is. Here's the problem. Most people really have no spiritual life. And I took them down a path. I said, okay, let's look at this person and this family. Messed up. This family. Messed up. Let's look at this family. Good. I'm talking doing kids. Good. Productive. Good. What's the difference? Well, this one here, they have a spiritual life. The parents have a spiritual life. The parents produce that spiritual life in their kids. And they this great fruit. But you look at this one, messed up. Why? Because the parents don't have any spiritual life. And if the parents did have any spiritual life, they didn't pass it on to the children. They trusted the youth group to do it. So you look at two people who now look at their family and say, what happened? Where'd they go wrong? And it's very simple, as I said to this group. There's no spiritual life. Most people are walking around dead men. There is no spiritual life. Jared, 1 Corinthians 2 now. Somebody can jump in a minute if they want. I didn't mean to hog this. This wasn't where I was going to go today. Yeah.
Yeah, I was having a conversation this weekend with some people, and they said, do we even know anybody who isn't divorced? Right? Do we even know anybody who isn't divorced? Right? Do you? I mean, that's something to ask people, right? Do you even know anybody, any families that aren't divorced?
Boy. yeah. Well, you know them by their fruit, right, Jared? And here's the point that I'm making. Not that, just, I want you to look at those of you who have families. Look at your children. And I would bet this, very few people whose children are walking with the Lord are screwed up. Very few are. And I would say if you're looking at the families who are screwed up, they're not walking with the Lord. There is no spiritual aspect to their life. Are you guys with me? That's what we're dealing with. See? We have Christians today that can't even recognize bad fruit in other Christians. They can't even see that. Why? Because they're conformed. They're conformed. They go and they sit in that same church where people in the church are, their lives are engrossed in sin and destruction, and everything's being conformed, and they can't even realize that they're conformed. And they look out at me out on the street holding a sign, and what do they say? I'm the one. I'm the freak. I'm the one deformed. No, I'm the one transformed. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is the scripture I got when I got up this morning. And I, brother, when I came to, hey, Larry, just the brothers. Just the brothers. We're not talking to the boys down at the bar. Somebody's coming in and you're breaking up. No? Okay. And I, brothers, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Fruit. He's looking for transformation. That I'll be able to look at you and see Christ. Your friends and neighbors see you and see Christ? Or would they even recognize it if they did? And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. There's that word again. And of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Are you learning faith in the power of God, or are you learning it from some man? Is the Holy Spirit downloading into you? Have you received that transformation? Do you have that transformer in your heart? That although you enjoy wisdom of others, you don't need it? Well, that's not the right word. You're not dependent on it. The multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. I talk to a lot of brothers in the queue. I have conversations with a lot of them. They call me. I talk to them. Great wisdom. Great wisdom. The average person walking on the street that you run into who calls themselves a Christian, they have one spiritual advisor in their life, and that's it. He's right. Everybody else is wrong. Well, that's not what my pastor said, really. Well, maybe he needs to be transformed. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. What? We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yeah, not the wisdom of this world. God, I can't hardly even read it. Nor of the princes of this world. Hey, boys and girls, who would that be? The princes of this world. That all comes to nothing. Not. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Oh, my. Do you see the two worlds? Do you understand that when you see Christ, you're supposed to be transformed, and now you're in, you're connected into that, the source of that other power in that other world? Which none of those princes of this world knew. For if they'd known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know at all. They made a big mistake. But as it is written, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor either have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed. Now look at that. Your eyes can't see it. Your ears can't hear it. It hadn't even entered into your heart. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Your eyes can't see it. You hear it. Your ears can't hear it. You can't even understand it. Hadn't even entered into your mind. But God reveals it to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yeah, the deep things of God. There's that transformer again. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? And even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Hang on. Hey, boys. You transformed? Because now we've received not the spirit of the world. We're connected into another transformer. But we've received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We might know them. How are you going to know them? You got to be transformed. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Here you are. But the natural man, the unregenerated, non-transformed man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. If you aren't transformed, if you don't have the transformer, if you don't have the software, if you don't have the computer app, you, look, it says, the natural man receiveth. Boys and girls, what does that mean? For you to receive it, somebody had to send it. For you to receive it, somebody has to send it. And you can't receive it if somebody doesn't send it. That's why they call them receivers in football. Why are they receivers? Because somebody's got to throw it to them so they can receive it. But the natural man received and he doesn't understand. He doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. Hang on. For they're foolish unto him. Neither can he? Not that he doesn't. He can't. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. He doesn't have a spiritual walk. He doesn't have a spiritual life. Your kids screwed up. Check their spiritual life. Folks, this isn't as hard.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
It's like a circuit. Okay, for a circuit to be completed, you need two things. You need that circuit, and you need the charge to go through that circuit. It doesn't work otherwise.
It doesn't work. In fact, folks, before we came on the air, I'm complaining that on my other computer over here, the one I do all my research and work on, I can't hear Facebook videos. I can see them. I can click on them. I can turn the volume up. I cannot hear the Facebook video. The same Facebook video I can hear on my phone, but I can't hear it on my computer. You know what? There's something wrong here with the transformation, right? The message isn't getting through. Something is blocking it. Now, I know that it works because I'm hearing it here. Why am I not hearing it there? Because something's not connected. Stay with me. Throw this in your neighbor's face. But he that is spiritual, hey, that'd be me. That'd be you if you've been transformed. But he that is spiritual judges all things. But we're not to judge. Yet he himself is judged of no man. You get this? He is spiritual, judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Man's words have no should have no impact on a natural man, on a spiritual man. On a spiritual man, the words, the wisdom of the world should have no impact if it violates the wisdom of God. Hang on. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Moi. I have the mind of Christ. Okay, come on in. Sound arrogant? Explain something? Look at your screwed up kids. Why are your kids screwed up? They don't have any spiritual walk. They have no spiritual life. They have no chance. They're being conformed. Hey, coach. They're being conformed to the world. Yeah.
Yeah, so people today, they're going to most churches that aren't even confronting the sin issue. The pastors / CEOs, they're not confronting it. Now, I wonder people, they have no chance because they're going to that minister saying, and if he's not confronting it, they're going to think what they're doing is acceptable.
Yes, that's right. Yes, Jared.
Here, it's just like college, right? You go to a construction site, you get a construction worker, and then you have a college-trained guy who comes onto that construction site, and you've got the construction worker who did it for 10 years, right? That college kid's a freaking idiot, okay? He doesn't know nothing, but he's got all the knowledge. He's got all the knowledge. But guess what? The construction worker who's got tattoos all over his – and he's got a beard and everything, and he says, hey, kid, shut up and do what I tell you to do. Because I know why. Because you see this scar? I got that from freaking rebar. You see this cut? And that's the difference between the church. They're just talking about theory. How do you confirm theory? You go and do it. You go and practice it. And then the more you practice it, the more you say, that theory ain't right. That theory was wrong. Because I did it. I got the scars.
Amen. And don't ever forget this, folks. The unregenerate man, we just read, the natural man, can't receive it. He doesn't have the transformer. He doesn't have the app. The natural man. And so when you go and you talk to people about, you talk to natural people about spiritual things, it's foolishness. It's foolishness. This led me today to, you're going to say, Coach, this is off the wall. I know it is. I know it is. Jared, pull up Tommy Lahren here. You guys know who Tommy Lahren is? She's this eye candy. Right there. That's all you got to know. Tommy Lahren would never be on Fox News if she was fat and had buck teeth. She would never be on Fox News.
Amen. You got it, Coach. You got
and
it.
So she's on Fox News because she's pretty. And because she's pretty, she carries authority, even though she's 25 years old. So Tommy Lahren comes out and digs a hole deeper over. She said that Tommy Lahren, I'm going to let you watch a 1 minute video here. Women and children shall lead them, right? I'm not against women. I'm not against women. Where did they dig her up? Where did they dig up this 25 year old girl who now is giving all the wisdom because she's a good conservative, good conservative. And Tommy Lahren comes out and says that for us to try to do away with Roe versus Wade would be religious judicial activism and unconstitutional. She said that, right? Now, she's the one giving us wisdom. And I'm watching her. And every once in a while, she'll veer in because, listen, conservatism and Christianity, every once in a while, they intersect. Every once in a while. But here's what happens. Conservatism is pretend salt. I have that video pulled up here. See, we can be walking together. I'm walking with Tommy. We're doing good. We're working together. And then Tommy veers to the left. And I said, whoa, Tommy, get back over here. And Tommy doesn't come back over because she's pretty. We don't make her come back over. Say, oh, well. But you know what the problem is? Tommy has not received the things of the Spirit. Tommy is a natural woman. A natural woman. She is pretend salt. She's conservative. She's not. Guys, we got to stop using that term. Jared, scroll down a little bit. I just want to play this 1 minute video here of Tommy Lahren. Now, picture her 80 pounds heavier with pimples on her face and see if she would be on Fox News. Anybody think she would? Now, so remember, the devil always comes as an angel of light. Now, I'm not saying Tommy's it. I'm not saying she's the devil. She's a natural woman. She has not received a thing. I searched all morning over her biography, Wikipedia, all that. I think she's Catholic. Not sure. But she does not have the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. And so here's what you get. You get natural man's wisdom, which is foolishness. Play this 1 minute clip, Jared. It's foolishness.
I think that it's important to clarify my statements there, because first and foremost, I believe that Judge Kavanaugh is a constitutional conservative, not a religious judicial activist, which is exactly what we want. My problem is with some of my fellow conservatives who have put it out there that we are, quote, coming for Roe v. Wade. That is a mistake, because we are putting it out there and implying that we are sending a justice to the bench to carry out religious judicial activism, which is a mistake and is unconstitutional. And if we as conservatives are going to imply that, if that's going to be our messaging, we might as well spit on the Constitution. That is not what we stand for. If we are not going to uphold the Constitution on its merit, who will? That is up to us to do. So that my real problem here, regardless of my views on abortion, pro-life, pro-choice, is the messaging of our Supreme Court justice and how he will handle Roe v. Wade if it comes to that point.
So in other words, Tommy Lahren worships the Constitution. I don't worship the Constitution. I worship the King of Kings. And isn't it amazing that we hold these truths to be self-evident? All men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them are life. And that the 14th Amendment to the Constitution says no one can be deprived of life, liberty, without due process of law. And is it the 16th Amendment? Talks about being, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Hey, Coach.
You guys, you see the point that I'm making? The wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God, they're not the same thing. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach. Okay, so how is it alternative media is going to be any different if they do exactly the same thing that the mainstream media does, putting up pretty women? All right? I mean, we got to get away from that nonsense.
Yeah.
All right? So forget about personalities.
Listen, why would it be wrong, other than he would have a hard time getting confirmed because the church is so screwed up, what would be wrong with Judge Kavanaugh saying, yes, my deeply held religious beliefs, they do impact everything. Yes, they do. They sure do. And my deeply held religious beliefs impact my life the same way it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg's affect her decisions. Mine will affect them the same way. And in regards to life, I believe everybody has the right to life. My deeply held religious beliefs tell me that, and that's my position. Why can't we say that?
Right. How come everyone else gets informed of their thinking and we can't?
Why can't we say that? Because we don't say it. Because we couch our Christianity under the cover of conservatism. And conservatism is pretense talk. I'm going to shut up because I got a quiet crew here today, and I'm trying to figure out why. Somebody come in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, I also think I agree 100% with you. We've abdicated our religious liberty to the church. So it's therefore
authority. It's our authority. Yeah. We've abdicated our authority.
So therefore now, Coach, it's what we're having to play defense. And what you're saying, what I hear is we need to play offense, which you're exactly right. But see now we've put ourselves in a mess. And so now everything to be calculated, and you're right, that doesn't work long term.
Well, George, why can't Judge Kavanaugh stand up and say, listen, folks, I believe abortion was bad law. I believe it was argued on bad law, and I believe that every human being has a right to life. That's what I believe. Why does he have to lie about it? Lie about it so I can get on the court? No, I represent all those Christians out there, many who agree with me. And I will argue, I will decide on the law based on what my understanding of this world is, and that's how I'm going to base my ruling.
Hey,
couch it and hide it? Yeah.
Coach, now, number one, we know on pretty good report that Kavanaugh is a deep stinger, but that's beside the point.
Yeah,
But secondly, if he did that, the position that would knock it on. So I think the strategy is to do it.
You're breaking up, George.
You're right. How can we? How long can you keep strategizing?
I go back to your buddy Dan Fisher. Dan Fisher wanted to do away with abortion, and he said so, and Christians didn't vote for it. Right? Maybe that's why Kavanaugh's not saying. Because see, most Christians are pro-choice with exceptions. They're pro-choice with exceptions, really. Most Christians are not pro-life. If they were, we wouldn't be acting. Somebody else come on in, man.
Hey, Coach, I just started this program off there in Romans chapter 12. And you hit on something that is so vital for folks out there that are sitting in those boxes calling themselves churches, that there's a lot of people in there that are true brothers and sisters in Christ. They hunger and thirst after a good relationship with God the Father through Jesus. They just are not receiving the teaching they need to receive to find out how to increase that relationship mm-hmm. in their own lives. And one of the main reasons that people are sitting in those places, and there's a lot of people sitting in those places that are no more saved than this coffee cup. Okay?
Right.
And one of the reasons is because there has been such a false teaching about something that you covered in Romans 12, 1 through 3. But if you can go there, Jared, let's look at Romans 12, verse 3 for a second. It says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself." Now, like you said earlier, this is talking to the brethren. "Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, this verse tells us He put into every human being the measure of faith. Now, that faith has got to be activated back toward him. Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2. That faith has to be activated towards Jesus, okay? But what the churches have been teaching is that the grace is what was put into you. And what is put over you and what covers you. Grace is unmerited. If grace was truly unmerited, as they teach, then grace would be over every single person on the face of the earth, because nobody could merit what grace accomplishes. And if grace were truly unmerited, then there would be no need to get anybody, quote, saved, because everybody would be under grace. Grace is not a free gift. It is not unmerited. But those are the two main points that are taught in the church about grace.
Larry, that's right. And so
the verse that clearly shows and proves what I just said is Ephesians 2, verse 8. If you go to Ephesians 2, verse 8, let me turn to it. Jared can run to it if he wants to here.
"For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God."
You're saved by grace through faith. The faith activated toward God brings you under grace. Not the grace isn't forced on top of you. It's not unmerited. In order to come under God's grace, you have to activate that faith toward him. And it says that's not of yourselves. It's a free gift of God. What's that free gift referring to? It's referring to the word faith. It's not referring to the word grace. You were an English teacher. You can recognize that, correct?
Yeah.
So these people that have it in their brain and have been, and you can't blame them for a point, because it's been pounded into them. But grace is not unmerited. Grace is not free. Just like freedom is not free.
Amen. Well said, Larry.
That's why I wear the shirt. Truth sounds like hate. See, that's our battle, right? I had a I know somebody wants to get in. Just let me lay this out on the table. I had a situation. How do I say it, Lord? So I was a good conversation. I was having a good conversation over the weekend when somebody said, "Well, so-and-so really thinks that you don't like him. And I said, well, why? Why would he said, oh, he just, I don't know. He just feels like you're always judging him whenever you're around him. Now, I got to tell you something. I never even think of this guy. Never even think of him. When I'm around him, I'm nice to him. I'm cordial with him. And I thought, Lord, what could possibly make him think I'm judging him? Why would he think that? Just didn't. And you know what it is? Sure, you know what it is. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in me that brings conviction. And see, the world receives conviction as judgment. I'm not judging him. He's under conviction when he comes into my presence because he knows what I stand for. He knows what I believe. I don't jump up on the couch and start preaching to everybody and condemning everybody. So, folks, understand this, that the natural world, the lost world, if you are walking in the Spirit, they are under conviction whenever they come in your presence. Amen. And they don't like it, and they say you're judgmental and you're hateful and yada, yada, yada. I told my wife, I don't even share the gospel with some of the people. A lot of the people in my life, I ain't casting my pearl before swine. I'm not going to give them the chance to say, all he does is always preaching. See, people say, well, you're supposed to share the gospel with them. Well, I am sharing the gospel with them. But at some point, I'm not going to cast my pearl before swine and continue to say something to somebody that doesn't have the receiver.
Just your presence alone, Coach, you're spreading the word.
All of us should see. Thanks, Serge. All of us should be that way. That way, they should feel convicted. They should. They should. Yep.
Well, when you turn on the light, when you walk into a dark room and you turn on the light, how do you think the darkness feels? You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I mean, ask the darkness whether it feels judged or not. Well, guess what? It does, because the light turned on.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
This is Paul. It's interesting. Friday, we went to the abortion clinic, and there was a young man that had gotten there early and dropped off somebody, came back, and he got one of our brochures. He was reading it in the car, wouldn't open the window or anything. Goes around the back, comes around to the front, and we're clear shot to him. And he says something very interesting. He says, I read the material. Y'all are making me feel more guilty than about this. And I don't. And we're trying to talk to him, but he won't listen. Well, conviction. You know,
makes you feel guilty, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Paul, why is the conviction come? Because the law is the schoolmaster that lets them know that they need Christ.
Right.
And if we're walking in that, they ought to feel that conviction. Truth sounds like hate or feels like hate. Maybe I ought to change that.
Hey, Coach, you know, yes. What you just said about you don't try to force your opinions and you know, on people that don't have their transmitter turned on, much less tuned in. If you got about, you have about 2 minutes for another teachable moment from the word.
Sure.
Okay. Chapter 13 of Matthew. If you want to go there, Jared, starts off with basically verse three starts off with a parable. Now, remember, this is a parable Jesus is speaking. He is saying this parable in language that the person who doesn't have the tuner tuned in won't understand. They will hear but not understand. So this is not clearly spoken. This is a parable that has hidden meaning for those who have the tuner tuned in. And then he tells the parable of the sower in the first few verses here and everything. But we get over here to verse 18 of chapter chapter 13 of Matthew. And Jesus is speaking. Jesus says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. The disciples have asked him to explain this parable they just told. It was in such garbled language that not only could those who didn't have a tuner understand, they didn't understand. So they asked him to explain it and says, okay, therefore hear the parable of the sower. Jesus titled it the parable of the sower. Coach, you are a sower. You have the word of God in you. You have the information in you that can help connect the Holy Spirit can use to connect people to the Father. You are a sower. Jesus could have called this the parable of the four grounds. He could have called this the parable of the seed, but he called it the parable of the sower. I'm thinking probably the main point of this parable is the sower. Mm-hmm. And when you read through this parable, to me, what this says, now, those of you out there listening to me, that this at this moment, you can what's the word that uses begin with a D, decipher or something like that?
Discern.
That's it. You can discern whether this is coming from God or not. But Jesus is telling his disciples in this parable that you have the word, the seed. He definitely says the seed is the word. He makes that very clear. You've got the word in you because you've been walking with me in this ministry. You have the information in you to help people connect to God the Father. He says, now, I want you to understand that that word can be put out everywhere. It could be put out where it doesn't do any good because Satan comes and snatches it away instantly. He says it could be put out where it's so rocky it can't even take any root. It could be put out where it starts to do a little bit of something, starts to grow a little bit, but because of where it was planted, it gets choked out by the weeds. It says, or you could put that word out where it's going to do some good. And that's what you were talking about, Coach, is if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you don't go and tell everybody, quote, the gospel message. You tell the people the Holy Spirit tells you to tell the gospel message. That's what this parable is about. It's not about getting a 60 or 100-fold return on your money. This parable is about being careful that you don't, as you said, you do not cast your pearls before swine, and you do not give that which is holy to the dogs.
Amen. Amen. You know, I'm looking over here at Larry. Christina said something that's pretty profound. I'm reading in the chat room. I don't know if all of you. By the way, folks, you got to find us at CoachDaveLive.com. Please spread that word, CoachDaveLive.com. You're not going to find us on YouTube or Facebook or Vimeo. You're not going to find us there. You're going to find us at CoachDaveLive.com. Okay, we're trying to work around that. Now, Christine, I just noticed, said something over here. I probably can't scroll all the way back up there, but she's so true. Man, you got to come in with a flashlight sometimes. You can't always come in with a big old beam of light. Sometimes it has to be given to them slowly. And so understand where you're working and the environment in which you are. Sometimes you walk into a very, very dark environment. Just the light on your cell phone sometimes is more than they can handle. Now, you have to have the discerning of the Holy Spirit, as Larry was telling us there, to know what kind of ground you're standing on. Whether you waste the seed there. The seed's never wasted, don't get me wrong, but understand the soil which you're standing on. And if you're with a group of four or five people and you're sharing a little bit of the gospel, you'll be able to see who is getting it. So a light went on in somebody. You have to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit to say, they didn't get it, they didn't, oh, there's a spark here. He didn't get it. And later on, move back in on that one where you saw the spark. That's what it's about. It's not just water hosing everybody to death. Understand that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. He can't get it. So we have to appeal to them in a normative, worldly way. Take away their defenses, their lousy arguments. Slice it with truth. Remember, don't ever forget this. The only way you will ever in your life receive truth is if you accept it on your own. You cannot pound truth into somebody else. Truth only comes to someone who is open to receive it. And the constant bombarding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding into rocky ground doesn't even make sense. And the scripture tells us, Coach Dave planted and I didn't get anything out of it, and somebody else in their life came along and watered it, and there still wasn't any fruit from it, and lo and behold, 10 years later something happens and they get it and their eyes are open and they receive it. So our job is to plant and to water, to sow, and let God take care of the increase. Folks, we are in a spiritual battle. Yeah, George.
Hey, I was just going to say, you know, for years and years and people have had psychological warfare used against them. And it's really programmed in a very bad, negative way. And so now the reverse has to be done. We have to start using, but you're right. Just like Christina said, you can't do too much too soon. People, you know, they'll just vomit it out. They won't be able to handle it.
Folks, I'm going to tell you this. Blessed George, here's the truth. You look around you at the mess in people's lives, and you're going to find out that if they do not have a spiritual walk, their life is probably a mess. Christ is the only answer. We can't be afraid to share it. Bless you. See you tomorrow.